Hello, hello, hello from wherever and whenever you may be listening. This is another episode of The Rambler and the Gambler. We have a different Rambler in tonight. We have brought back a popular guest, Ryan Anderson, to ramble with me because Dan couldn't make it tonight. So, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm doing good. I'm going to do my best Rambler impression tonight. I hope to do Dan some justice here.
Well, you got some big shoes to fill because Dan knows how to take a question and definitely make it a long-winded answer. But I will leave that up to you, and we'll get started. I mean, it's funny. I was trying to do the pod Thursday night, and then I just got caught up with actual like work, and then last night, I don't know. Whatever. We're here now. It's Saturday, and the big news that just broke a couple hours ago was that Tom Brady is retiring, and now there's this... seems to be maybe a little bit of a backtrack going on, so I'm going to stick with the story that he's retiring and maybe it just leaked sooner than he wanted it to. But I mean, my initial thoughts were kind of surprised that it was this quickly, right? You would have thought he would have at least waited till the season to end, but I don't know. Ryan, what were your immediate thoughts?
Well, my initial thought was this is the best day of my life, minus the wedding of that I had with my wife. But
don't worry, honestly, she's not listening.
I'm gonna say that I really hope that Schefter is right, like he usually is, because I don't like the backtrack that I've been seeing as well. So let's just hope that the decision stands and he can just go in his good graces and never come back.
Yeah,
it's no secret that I have no love lost for the man. So, you know.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where he came to Tampa Bay. You knew it was going to be 2, maybe 3, 4 would be a stretch. But, you know, we've just gotten to the point where we can't underestimate Tom Brady anymore when it comes to how long he's going to play. He hit the Super Bowl in year one. So it's like that was the goal, right? Like.
That was the year 3 goal, and he did it in 1 year. So, right. I mean, anything else is gravy.
This isn't Patrick Mahomes where it's like, how many more can we win in the next 10 years? You know, right. So the fact that he won the Super Bowl last year, if he didn't win the Super Bowl last year and then he got eliminated, you know, like he did this past Sunday, I think he'd be back, no doubt. But since he won the Super Bowl, it was kind of like, all right, I checked the box. I could do it somewhere else. And yeah, move on. I mean, he's got the TB12 stuff. He obviously,
He's not hurting for anything. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say he obviously talked about being a father and how his family's important to him, and that was part of the reason he went to Tampa because it's closer to his kids, and I think they live in New York now, right, as opposed to LA. So, I mean, hate him or love him.
And I mean, you know, he's definitely not getting any younger.
What's that?
I mean, he's definitely not getting any younger. What is he, 42, I want to say? I mean,
he's 44. He'll be 45.
Oh, 44, okay. See, he's even older than I thought.
Yeah.
But I mean, like we said, the goal was to win a Super Bowl for a different team in Tampa Bay. He did that a lot quicker than anybody thought. But as much as I hate the guy, I mean, even last week, we'll touch on it later, but he even showed that anytime you're down in a game, and, you know, they were down 24-3 at one point, 27-3. Mm-hmm. And they marched back. They had a chance, you know, to go ahead, tie at the end of the game. He's never out of it, which is a scary thought.
Yeah, very true. As a degenerate gambler, I've come to realize that a lot of these teams are never out of it just because of, you know, the way that the rules are and the, you know, heavy pass offenses, and then the defenses play prevent. But you know, the fact that Tom Brady's over there, you hit the nail on the head. Of course he's never out of it. We all saw the Super Bowl against Atlanta, and yeah. You know, the bad news for me is that I just like watching good football. I mean, I am a Giants fan, yes, but over the last 5 or so years, what does that even mean? So, you know, most Sundays I'm just gravitating towards the games of the week, obviously my bets, and you know, I just am a big football in general fan, right? So the fact that he's leaving, I mean, it's just a legend that's gone. And you know, you kind of take it for granted when you're in the moment, like those Manning Brady matchups in the playoffs, or even like on a Sunday night football game, were always like must see TV. And you know, the fact that he's gone, it's just another, like I said, it's just another great guy that unfortunately we don't get to see anymore. And sure, there'll be other ones, but I guess the flip side of it is it kind of makes me feel old, right? Like, I can remember in high school when the Pats won their first Super Bowl over the Rams, and God, that was literally more than half my life ago. So it's just,
yeah,
it just makes me feel old. I mean, the good news for me is I kind of realized it last year, right? The AFC has a lot of young, talented quarterbacks. Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Lamar, Burrow, you know, that whole crew. If Tua or Trevor Lawrence, you know, develop into stars, you know, that's a loaded conference. The NFC. Yeah,
the AFC is stacked with young talent. I mean, you could rattle off about 8 to 10 out of the 16 teams in the AFC that have, you know, a stud in the making or an already, you know, a superstar on the team. So it's going to be a bright future. And that's what I was going to touch on too. Like, although, like you said, you know, kind of makes you feel old, and it kind of sucks that, you know, you're losing one of the greats. I mean, most people would say the greatest, which I will never say because that's just not in me, but you know, doesn't take away from him. And you know, there's whatever, but it also leads to the opportunity for the younger generation to step up now. Like, you know, they can become the face of the NFL that Brady was for the last couple decades. So I'm excited to see which of the couple that you just mentioned has the ability or the wherewithal to actually step up and become that face. I'm curious to see who's going to be that person.
Well, I think it'll be Mahomes, especially if he wins his second Super Bowl in 3 years. But, you know, Josh Allen and him, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Just to round out my point from before, I realized that last year when the final four, the quarterbacks were literally Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, and I think Goff, or I think the Rams made it to the second round last year. But just realizing that that was the final four in the NFC, it's like, okay, you either have a young up-and-coming talent, AFC, or you have an aging veteran who is still great, NFC. Yeah. Now, yeah. Obviously, Breeze is gone, Brady's now gone, and who knows what's going to happen with Rodgers. So, I mean, think about the NFC quarterback. You know, who's the best one? Stafford? Oh, besides Rodgers. I'm not including him because I don't know what his plan is, right?
Right.
Stafford? Russell Wilson?
Are you going to throw Prescott's name out there?
I was going to say Dak. Right, like, you know. No, yeah. One that's like
Kyler Murray. I mean, who's going to step up? Who? That's a good question.
Right. So I mean, as a Giants fan, it makes me feel a little bit better that there's not a gauntlet to get to the playoffs. Not that the Giants are getting to the playoffs anytime in the immediate future, but it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out down the road. But
right.
Yeah, man, just sucks that I'm not going to be able to turn on Sunday Night Football and watch Brady anymore.
Yeah, we definitely, unfortunately, have a difference in opinion on that, on that stand front.
Well, I mean, at least you could root against them.
True. But, all right. Yeah, it's definitely an end of an era, that's for sure.
Yeah. So last week I was talking to Dan, and Dan was even saying it. He's like, I know this is your favorite weekend of the year. And I was like, yes, I love divisional round weekend. It's always four great games, and you know, I'm not the one that usually does the recency bias or the greatest of all time, but I can't remember. I mean, I think the games are great every year. There's usually a dud in there, which I thought we were going to get in that Rams-Bucks game until the Bucks came back. But every game was great, and then like every game got progressively better, right? So the Tennessee-Cincinnati game was good. Obviously, it came in the final field goal, you know, 19-16, not overly exciting. You know, a lot of turnovers, a lot of sloppy play. But a good game, obviously, came down to the end. And then the San Francisco-Green Bay game was a little boring until the fourth quarter. And it was just like, all right, who's going to pull this one out? It was just like a different kind of like defensive struggle. Obviously, it was 0 degrees out. And then I was so big on the Rams last week. I thought they were going to kill them. And I was telling Dan that's my favorite pick of the week. And I already bet the Rams -6.5 at like +280. And Of course, that went up in smoke because that just would have been too good to be true. But that was exciting and like, okay, here's the dud game. Oh, no way. Okay, here's another touchdown. Okay, here's another touchdown. Oh, another fumble by the Rams. Another fumble by the Rams.
Yeah.
And then the Buffalo-Kansas City game was just...
That game was...
The most insane game I can remember watching. I mean, obviously the Giants Super Bowls, specifically the 07 one against the undefeated Patriots, will always be probably my favorite sporting memory in my life. We'll see how the rest of my life plays out. But, I mean, as far as like... not having a dog in the fight and just sitting there and watching and being entertained, like I literally couldn't sleep after the game, Ryan. And like I actually won bets on it. I didn't bet a side, I bet the over, I bet a couple props, and I actually won some money on the game. So it's not like I was pissed off and couldn't sleep, but the game itself is just like, holy shit. And I bet the over of 54 and I didn't think we were gonna get there, and then they dropped like 20, I think it was 25 points in the last like 2 minutes. So
yeah, just, 20, I believe it was 25 in the last 2 minutes.
Just the most insane game. And everyone was saying like, oh, poor Josh Allen. Is he ever going to be get past Patrick Mahomes? But as we just talked about, you know, there could be a lot of other quarterbacks that are saying the same thing, or it could be Patrick Mahomes saying it about someone else. Like, I really feel like it's going to be a gauntlet to get out of the AFC every year now, which, like I said in the beginning, I like watching football. So that's great. What were your initial thoughts, biggest takeaway from last weekend?
I mean, this past weekend was, like you said, it was pretty insane. I mean, I did have off on Saturday, so I got to watch the first two games. I definitely was on the right end of both of them, actually, which was pretty surprising. But, yeah, the, like you said, the first game was entertaining, not a lot of scoring, but, you know, good at the end. Second game, like, I was very bored with it, but you know, sometimes they always say defense wins championships, and you know, that's exactly what San Francisco needed to do. They went into Lambeau and won in a cold ass game.
I don't mind a game like that though.
Yeah, I didn't get to see too much of the Bucks Rams game, other than knowing that the Rams were way up, and then Brady stormed back as he always does. I'm getting the updates on the radio at work and stuff like that, so. But I didn't get to see too much of that. And I saw the end of the Chiefs game, which was just, I mean, going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I mean, I think that over the last couple of seasons, we've seen already the next wave of the Manning-Brady rivalry. I mean, we're talking Allen and Mahomes now. And I think it's going to be for years to come. Both teams are stacked. Both teams will be there next year, I think. It could be a good time before another lurches their way in that group, minus maybe Cincinnati. I mean, who knows? I mean, we got the LSU connection. You never know. So, but no, it was very entertaining weekend of games. I like yourself, do enjoy the divisional round because I think it's the most entertaining and I guess action filled, because I mean, realistically, once you get to the conference semis, the conference championships, you're looking to see who's going to get to the Super Bowl. So everything kind of gets a little, I don't want to say hectic, but everybody gets a little too amped up. And then there's for letdown games, I think. But we'll see. I hope that this weekend's are as good as last. I don't think there's a shot at it, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, last week was the pinnacle. I mean, I might just try to look on NFL Network and DVR that Bills Chiefs game just so I can go back and watch it the next time I'm bored, or if it's, you know, May and I'm missing football. But
yeah, I kind of wish that I don't wish that they would change the rule as far as overtime in the playoffs, as far as, you know, both teams should get the ball. I don't want them to change it. It's been like that forever. But I kind of wish to see if what Josh Allen would have done if he had been given the chance, because I feel like that game could have just been, you know, score after score after score after score. We'd still be playing it until today. You know, that game was that good.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you went back and watched it, there'd probably be 10 things that you missed the first time, just because there were so many things that happened. Big plays, obviously. Yeah. Scores, penalties, turnovers, whatever. Actually, there were no turnovers in that game, and there was really no not too many penalties either. So I think that's what made it such a great and smooth game.
I will ask you a question before we switch from that game.
Sure.
Your thoughts on the prevent defense. I've been saying for years I absolutely hate it, and was proven that it doesn't work, and was proven right again this past weekend when you have 13 seconds and they go basically 50 something yards and get in field goal range, which ultimately cost them the game. Thoughts?
So you're talking about the final 13 seconds?
Correct. I mean, even on the drive before that, they really played off them to the point where Kansas City just drove right down the field again.
Here's what I actually learned this year. I think it was from the Ravens. Remember the Ravens-Lions game in like week 3 or 4 when Tucker hit the, what was it, a 70-yard field goal or 67-yard field goal, something absurd, to win the game?
Yes.
I was listening to a podcast and they were saying that you got to kick the ball inbounds on the kickoff and make a play. Because if you kick it out of bounds, obviously they take the ball to 25, right? So if you kick it inbounds, you're at least having them burn 5 seconds, 4 seconds.
Right.
I've never really paid attention that closely to kickoff. And then, you know, maybe the returner would give himself up. But if he gives himself up and you kick it to the 10, I mean, what's he going to do? Run to the 20 and give himself up? Like, or take it at the 10? Like, either way, it's those minute details. And I always watch for that now. And the second he kicked it out of the end zone, I was like, oh, that's a mistake. And, you know, I get it. Tyreek Hill.
I was going to say, Tyreek even Hill when the kick return is Tyreek Hill.
I think Tyreek Hill was back there, but I haven't seen a conclusive replay. But, like, okay, I get it. Tyreek Hill, he already scored the 70-yard touchdown in the drive previous. Like, what are the actual chances that he's going to run the kickback? And if he catches the ball, would he even be instructed to do so? You know?
Right. True. Fair.
So, I don't know. Like, if he wanted to try to score there, he would have had to, more than likely, like, try to be a hero, right? So he would have been, like, zigging and zagging and going this way and going that way. And, you know, and then before you know it, they'd have no time. And it would be Hail Mary right. time or hook and ladder time or whatever. So I think that was the biggest mistake and something that coaches should really look at for these situations. And,
right,
you know, I get it, right? There's going to be a time where the guy runs the kickback, but most guys don't even run kickbacks anymore. It's, you know, they usually just take it at the 25. So I feel like that's where the game was lost with the Bills, amongst other places. But I feel like that was the biggest sort of mistake. I'm not going to kill him as much for the 13 seconds. I mean, you couldn't have executed it better, to be honest. Like, you're obviously, you know, you're the Bills, right? So you're obviously not going to play press man coverage, especially with Tyreek Hill out there who just smoked you on the last drive. So I'm not as anti the defense that they called. Like I said, the Chiefs executed brilliantly. They threw him past the hill, had him run, get down, timeout. Like, this was the Giants. But
they rushed three. They rushed three on both those plays.
I was going to say,
where was the rest of the eight?
I was going to say, if this was the Giants, they would have got sacked with a three-man rush trying to run a screen pass. Like,
right.
So, I mean, I get it. The Giants are probably the complete opposite end of the spectrum as the Chiefs. But, like, the way that they ran that so perfectly, yeah. And then I guess the second play to Kelce was a little bit more, you know, a little bit more blame to go around, right? Because there's no way, even though Mahomes might be able to reach, there's no way they're doing Hail Mary there. So, yeah, I think bringing the guys up a little bit more probably was the play, but you know, also a lesson in how important second half timeouts are.
Very true. Very true.
And makes the Cowboys look like idiots because they had their quarterback run into the middle of the field and slide with no timeouts and then lost the season. So anything that makes the Cowboys look bad, I'm on board with.
Well, and that's why you guys fired your GM and your, you know, everything like that. So,
speaking of GMs, you were saying that Buffalo might be, you know, the next dynasty. The Giants just gutted their coaching staff and GM room, so we'll see. Maybe we can bring some of that Buffalo winning culture over to Matt.
Well, isn't it not official yet? Or I thought they announced the OC was their new head coach.
Yeah, no, Brian Daboll is, and Joe Shane, I believe is how you say his last name, has been the GM, who was the Bills' assistant GM. But the latest rumor, which I don't think had been confirmed, was who, like, the quarterback's coach in Buffalo might be coming to the Giants to be their OC. But then I heard something that the Giants haven't interviewed any minority candidates in person for the Rooney Rule for OC yet. So maybe that slipped. And it shouldn't have gotten out, because right, the Giants have to do their due diligence with the minority candidates and the Rooney Rule. But I don't know. I guess we will see. we will see in the coming days what becomes official, and if the Giants, well, not if, after the Giants interview, a minority candidate for OC. But I also read that the assumption was that Dorsey was going to just be the OC in Buffalo. But right, I guess, you know, obviously him and Daboll have some relationship, so I guess he might be coming with them. So
wouldn't be such a bad thing. I mean, looking at the looking at what they would be getting, I mean, Josh Allen didn't have such a bad year, did he?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember you, me, and Dan were on a pod, and I argued with you guys that players make coaches, and you said coaches make players, and it was a whole back and forth thing. And it's like, you know, I just look at the Giants, right? They had Ben McAdoo, if you want to go back that far, who was the quarterback's coach in Green Bay, and the offense really never took off in New York. Even the 1 year he made the playoffs, it was all the defense that was carrying the team, because they signed all the free agents in the on the defensive side of the ball, and then obviously McAdoo completely lost his shit and fell apart. Then they bring on Pat Shurmur, who was the hot O coordinator because he got Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings to an NFC championship game, and then he fell flat on his face. And then they bring on a guy with no coordinator experience, but he came from the Belichick tree and Joe Judge, and then, you know, it was way over his head for him. So it goes back to my point that players make coaches more than coaches make players. And yeah, the OC looks great when your quarterback's Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, and, you know, the OC doesn't look so hot when your quarterback is, you know, Daniel Jones. So I hope I'm wrong. I mean, obviously, we've seen coordinators work out as coaches all over the league before. It's just that the Giants' recent track record with what they try to do and bring in the hot coach with no coaching experience. I mean, I know Shurmur had experience, but I think he was like 9-23 with two seasons in Cleveland, maybe. I don't know where he was, but not exactly a winning pedigree. So,
right.
I don't know. We will see what the future holds.
I'm curious to see where my team goes as well, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was actually hoping to get Brian Flores, and I know that Gibble was actually the number one pick for Miami, I heard, as well. But I guess the Giants offered it to him first, or maybe he liked the Giants more. I don't know why he would, but yeah, I actually would have liked Flores, because I did want a guy with head coaching experience, because that's what I think we need. I mean, obviously we brought in Coughlin, if you go way back, and that worked out, and he right. had, you know, success in Jacksonville. But, you know, like anything else, you're finding a head coach that has success, he's probably not going to be available because he's successful, you know?
Correct.
If Brian Daboll falls flat on his face, maybe we can grab Sean Payton, but because he used to be the Giants OC back in the day. But, you know, successful, they're probably not available. So these are the chances you have to take when you're a shit team.
Yeah.
Who's the Dolphins head candidate now that Dable's off the market? Do you even know?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, and of course I'm so unprepared. Who was the quarterback's coach for the Cowboys? He played in the league. I can't think of his name for the life of me now.
Kellen Moore,
and
Well, he was the OC.
He was the OC? Okay, yeah, they're looking at Kellen Moore, and they're looking at the, I want to say OC of the 49ers. But obviously they can't touch him until they, you know, are eliminated. or even talk to him. So yeah. As of right now, they're saying that Kellen Moore is the favorite, but they really do like the other guy as well. So we'll say those are the two front runners from what I understand.
Yeah. Anyway, we got way off topic on the coaching carousel. let's talk about these games this week. So the first game tomorrow is obviously KC and Cincinnati. You know, without getting into my pick, I'm hoping this will be another entertaining game of, you know, fireworks and scoring and the whole deal. But I feel like you have to give the edge to Kansas City. It is up to 7.5, which is a lot of points. But I'm curious to see Kansas City's defense against the Bengals offense because, Burrow smoked them. Well, Jamar Chase actually smoked them in the game that they played a few weeks ago. And, you know, that was in Cincinnati. The Chiefs were up 28-14, and then they took the foot off the gas and then ended up losing the game. And I feel like that was kind of like a big game for the Bengals. So I feel like, you know, these revenge spots are always seems to benefit the team that lost. So I kind of lean that way. If you look at last week, you know, San Francisco lost to Green Bay in the regular season. Kansas City lost to Buffalo in the regular season. And then the Rams actually beat the Bucks for the second straight time. But I feel like those revenge spots usually go to the team that lost earlier. What are your thoughts on the game? What will you be watching for?
I agree with you. I would love to see a highlight fest. Just give me the, you know, 60-yard touchdown catches all day, every day. But I don't see that happening. I think that everybody is going to be heavily on the over this game, scoring a lot of points. Don't get me wrong. I think there's going to be points scored. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. But it's just how quickly will we get there? I do think that, like you said, Jamar Chase had a huge game against them last time. And it was like something along the lines of like 13 grabs for like 266 and 3 touchdowns, something ridiculous. But the Chiefs also proved that when given the opportunity to scout and given the opportunity to try to fix things, they can cover a big name wide receiver. They did it to Diggs last week. He didn't have a huge game last week. They shut him down for 90% of that game. So, I mean, realistically, they've shown that they can do it. So we'll see if they can do it against Chase. But Buffalo also showed that, which I don't know if. I mean, I guess the what's the word I'm looking for? The secondary receivers for the Bengals are on par with what the Bills have. You got Tyler Boyd. You got
They're better, but yeah,
you know they're no scraps themselves, but they're gonna have to step up just like the Bills did last week. So we'll see. We'll see if that can be done. I think Burrow's going to get rushed very heavily, and I think he's going to have to he's going to have to dump the ball down pretty quickly. So I know we don't do prop bets on your pod or anything like that, but I would definitely bet Mixon's receptions on the over of that. I think it was like 3.5. I definitely think he's going to get way over that. So that's just side note.
Who you said Mixon?
Yeah, Mixon. He's going to dump the ball off a lot.
Oh. Gotcha. Yeah, so I said I don't want to get into my picks, but I want to talk about the game in full, so I'm getting into my picks. I'm going to take the Chiefs here, and I like this bet way more than I like the other game, which we'll talk about in a minute. So for the past couple weeks, Dan and I, since there's only so many games, and obviously we've been picking a lot of the same. Actually, last week we picked all four games the same. What we've been doing is giving confidence points. So your favorite game, like last week there were four games, right? So your favorite game, you get 4 points, your second favorite bet, 3 points, so on and so forth. So
okay.
If I had to go, which one I like more, obviously I like this game more, and here's why. I already talked about the revenge standpoint, but the Chiefs are now at home, and the Chiefs, beginning of the year, it was all the Chiefs offense is broken and they figured out the league and Mahomes. The Chiefs' previous point totals were 42, 42, 28, 31, 36, 34, 48, and then 22 all the way back in the first week of December. So I think they kind of got their offense straightened out. I have picked against the Bengals both rounds of the playoffs and obviously lost. But I feel like this is kind of when they turn back into a pumpkin. And I know I said the same thing last week, but, you know, whenever you back Ryan Tannehill, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And, you know, even if you want to go back to the Raiders game, the Bengals won, yes, but Carr had the team driving at the end of the game. And then last week, Tannehill was driving for the tie or the go-ahead field. No, they were tied, and then he threw a pick. And then right at midfield, and then obviously they lost the game. So the Bengals haven't impressed me at all. Not taking anything away from them. This is the playoffs. A win is a win, an ugly win, or a blowout win. You're moving on to the next round, and, you know, kudos to them for kind of arriving what I believe is like a year early to this point. But, you know, if you get sacked 9 times, like, and you win, like, there's clearly something wrong with the other team's offense, right? Because if you had told me the Bengals only scored 19 points last week, I'd been like, oh, I like the Titans even more now. But I just feel like this is kind of the game where they get exposed. You know, Chris Jones, Frank Clark on the defensive line, and as long as Tyrann Mathieu clears concussion protocol, which I'm pretty sure he already has, I like the Chiefs and their defense to keep the Bengals in check, and, you know, could be high, could be like 38-28 or something like that, but I do like the Chiefs here overall and to cover the spread. Are you on that side as well, or are you going with the hot team that is the Bengals?
You know what's funny, I really liked the Chiefs when the spread was under a touchdown, and I saw that it's now, you know, 7.5. And I thought that really would change my, once it crossed that 7, I really thought it would change my mind. But I definitely, I actually agree with you. I think it's going to be a 10-point game, whether it be 31-21 or 34-24, something like that. I still think you're going to get the points. I still think you're going to get all the offense that everybody's expecting. I don't recall what the over is. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
It's 54.5.
Yeah, I still think it's going to go over, honestly, or come very close to. I think that's pretty solid of a number.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything weather-wise that would, you know, negate.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that all the weather that we received over the last couple of days is over. So we'll see, because I know it's coming from that direction. So we'll see. I hope it's done. But yeah, no, I definitely agree with you with the Chiefs. I just think they're going to be too much. I think Burrow's going to – he hasn't done it yet, let's put it this way, but I think he's going to make a critical mistake. I think it'll be a 3-point game where they're going to be driving and he's going to make a mistake, and then Mahomes is going to make him pay for it, and they're going to score a touchdown, which is going to give them that 10-point cushion, and I think they're going to cover it.
Yeah, so. I felt like when the line stayed at 7 the entire week, I was like, it's almost like they're begging you to take Cincinnati. And now, you know, to tip the scales a little bit, they bumped the. But I feel like this is one of those spots where they're just begging you to take the underdog because, you know, the sharp play is on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else to watch in this game?
I want to see the. Like I said, I want to see the high scoring. I want to see the touchdowns thrown. I don't want to see a boring game. Don't let me down with that, and don't give me like a, you know, 14-10 game that you have to struggle for points. I want to see points. These are big time offenses, and I want to see big time offense.
Yeah, I might get at this game a little bit with some props and.
Oh yeah, definitely going the prop route on that game.
Yeah, we'll see what. You know, I might go like. Joe Burrow over for, you know, pass attempts. If they're down, right, they'll probably be throwing from behind, which, you know, kind of correlates with Joe Mixon under rush yards. But We'll see. We'll see how the game kind of goes and how it plays out. I could see it's that catch 22 thing, right? Where it's like, we want to run the ball and control the offense. So it's like, do they give it a mix in more? Or at the same time where it's like, we got to sling the ball around because we need to, it's the Chiefs. We're going to Arrowhead. So it'll be interesting to see what Zach Taylor draws up for his game plan here. But I think it's going to ultimately come down to they have to pass because they're down. So plenty of fun props out there.
Yeah, and I'd love to see what Ja'Marr Chase's line is as far as his yardage prop, because I was very impressed with the way that the Chiefs handled Diggs last week, and I think that they're gonna go that same route with Chase. I think they're gonna give up some yardage to the other guys, but they're not gonna let Chase beat him.
It's 83.5.
See, that's a little bit lower than I would have thought it was, so I don't like it as much. He'll probably go over that. I was thinking mid 90s was what it would have been.
Yeah. So with that logic, you might want to go Boyd. He's only 39.5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's Higgins? I mean, because both
70.5.
Okay, that's a little more than I thought. But yeah, Boyd. I like Boyd under 40. They're going to have to go bigger than that. He's going to have to play a bigger role.
Right.
I would look at CJ Uzama. I would look at his line because he's been pretty big in the offense as far as targets the last couple weeks. So I would look at him. You know, he's going to have to go to other options.
Right. I agree.
But I also could see Chase breaking like a 50 or 60 yarder, which would put him over that 80 something.
Yeah, that's what you always have to worry about with Chase. He's obviously a big play guy. All right. Anything else here?
And then we touched on the Bengals quite a bit. I mean, there's not much to say about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. You're going to look at Tyreek Hill. You're going to look at Kelce. They have huge play offense. You know, I like the odd ones. So I would like to look at like a Byron Pringle, something like that. You know, just like the off chance guys. So we'll see. I'll take a gander.
A couple of specials on FanDuel, which I swear they don't sponsor our podcast, despite the fact that we talk about them regularly. But that's my preferred betting site. So Mahomes and Burrow to combine for 550 yards and 5 touchdown passes. That's plus 195. And Mahomes and Burrow to each throw 300 yards. That's plus 360. I think that's pretty enticing considering they both did that last week. I don't remember about the wild card round. I'll pull it up while I'm talking here. Mahomes threw for 404 and Burrow threw for 244 in that game. So last week Burrow threw for 348 and Mahomes threw for 378. So
yeah,
at plus 360, I think there might be some value there. Someone that is an analytical math geek will probably tell me there's not, but something fun to root for, as we mentioned earlier, that we're hoping to see fireworks, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm definitely hoping to see that, so I hope that there's going to be a lot of passing. I don't want to see a running game. You got two of the most potent offenses. Throw the ball. I want to see like 70 attempts combined. I want to see 600-plus yards. Give me five. I won't get greedy. Give me 5 touchdown passes. You know, just I want to see big numbers. You got two fantastic quarterbacks. Let them throw the ball.
Yeah, and I say that because as we move to the next game, I'm afraid we won't see big numbers.
Yeah, I.
So I'll let you kick this one off. Which way are you going in this game and why?
Correct me. What's the spread again?
3.5.
San Francisco is the dog, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I know that San Francisco has beaten them 6 straight. How difficult that is to do in the first place is pretty crazy.
Especially against the division opponent that you play twice a year. You know, right. If this was the Giants against anybody, okay, I get it. But these teams have both been good over the past 3 years. So, yes,
yeah,
it is surprising. But go ahead.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know that they're going to win the game. I really don't. But I think that their defense is going to struggle the absolute hell out of Matthew Stafford. I think they're going to be in his back pocket for the majority of the game. They have Bosa and they have Werner that are just brutal. I really think that they're going to be up in his face. They're going to cause him to rush some throws. Stafford's still going to get his. Cooper Kupp's still going to get his. You know how the Rams are. But I the fact that they're getting over a field goal, I like it, and I'm going to take the 49ers. Will they win outright? I don't know. I really don't. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think so. At least I'm kind of hoping not, because like I said, I'm an offensive guy. I want to see the big numbers, and I don't know that San Francisco would be able to keep up with either of the AFC numbers. But yeah, if I'm going with the 49ers. I'm going, give me the points at this point.
Okay. So when these spreads came out in the beginning of the week, my initial thought on like Sunday night or Monday morning, whenever I saw them first, was like, I think I'm going Cincinnati and San Francisco. Cincinnati 7 seemed like too many points. And obviously I bet against them the past 2 weeks and that didn't work. And then San Francisco just seems to be on a roll, right? I obviously switched to the Chiefs and thought it through, and now I love that pick. For this one, I switched to the Rams and then I switched back to the Niners. So I, too, am on the Niners. I just... You know how I talked about the Bengals just don't impress me? The Niners haven't really either. They played what I felt was a good half in Dallas and then let them back into the game. And then last week, won ugly, didn't score any offensive points, and won on a special teams touchdown and a great field goal kicker pretty much, right? So
yeah.
Not trying to take anything away from them. Like I said earlier, win is a win, especially in the playoffs. And I get it was 0 degrees. Look at them as like, remember when the Patriots won in Buffalo in that wind storm on Monday Night Football? And everyone's like, oh, the Patriots. I just feel like it's a little bit like that with San Francisco, because eventually I feel like Jimmy G will be exposed and one of those passes that he throws that just flutters will be picked off at the wrong time. Now, on the flip side, I keep hearing all these parallels about the Niners with the 07 Giants and, you know, great front four, great pass rush, suspect quarterback, playmakers on offense, you know, I'll say shaky quarterback because, you know, you go back to 07, there were some games that season, I know it well, where Eli was horrible and Giants fans were clamoring that, is he the guy? The reason I like the Rams is because, like I said, the Niners really haven't impressed me, and the Rams have. But the Cardinals were, I feel like, a team on a downward trajectory. And the Bucks, I just felt, you know, they run out of gas in the tank, right? They had a lot of injuries. Brady kind of needs things to be, you know, perfect at this point in his career, with his playmakers and the guys he trusts and time with the O-line. They had O-line injuries, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like things kind of lined up for the Rams. But I feel like they have been more impressive. And even though they had 4 turnovers last week, none of them were Matt Stafford's fault. 2 were Cooper Kupp. I'm sorry, 2 were Cam Akers. 1 was Cooper Kupp. You know, Matt Stafford wasn't here, like, looking shitty like he did towards the end of the year. And, you know, I feel like the Rams we're taking it to the Niners in week 18 and then let them back in the game and obviously lost momentum and ended up losing the game. So I feel like the Rams could definitely win this game. If it was 3, I might go with the Rams, but I also feel like the Niners can win this game. I know these are real hot takes. I just don't have a good feel for this game one way or the other. So I'm kind of grabbing the points in the hot team with the momentum, but if the Rams won by 14 points, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yep.
It's like that catch 22. There's so many playmakers with and Owen, you know, even Elijah, you know, Brandon Ayuk could come up and have a big game, but it's like I don't know, man. Like, I don't trust Jimmy G. And even when they went to the Super Bowl, I remember there was that game against the Packers in the NFC title game. I think Jimmy G threw it 9 times or something. Something crazy. And they ran for, like, 250 yards with Raheem Mostert and whoever the hell else they have back there. So,
listen, all I know,
sorry, I was damn close to picking the Rams, but I'm just taking the points because I feel like this game's going to be real close one way or the other.
That's exactly how I felt, honestly. I'm gonna say this. I know your sister-in-law is not gonna be happy with me, but I'm gonna be honest. After the first game of the weekend, this is going to be your letdown game. It is gonna be boring. It is gonna be, you know, there's gonna be a lot of back and forth, but it's not gonna be like, it's gonna be a lot of punts. It's gonna be a lot of, you know, field position kind of game. There's going to be more turnovers in this game. There's not going to be as much offense, and it's going to be a letdown compared to what the first game is going to be. That's just my gut feeling.
So you're going with San Francisco, though?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so I disagree with you there. I think the Chiefs-Bengals will be a letdown game, and this game will be close. It might be low scoring. It might be a defensive struggle. I kind of like the under of 46. Because I feel like the Niners will keep Stafford in check and he'll probably mess up. And I feel like the Niners will just play it uber conservative and run the ball and try to, you know, keep it simple for Jimmy G. So I kind of like the under in this game more so than a side, but I'm just taking the points in this one. I don't have a strong feeling. It's really strange because last week I had strong opinions on all four games. Like, really liked my sides. The Buffalo KC game, I kind of went back and forth on and eventually ended up just taking the over. But I really like Tennessee. I loved the Rams last week, as I mentioned, and I kind of like the Niners. And then the Bills Chiefs, like I said, I went back and forth on. This week, if you told me, Kevin, you have to take the other sides of what I just said, I'd be like, okay, I can roll with it. Like, more so with the Rams than the Bengals, but I don't know. I just don't have... You would think with a more of a sample size, you'd have stronger opinions, but I feel like sometimes it just complicates things a little bit more once you start diving in deeper to it.
Yeah, and it's funny. I feel the same way. I had much clearer visions on last week than I did this week. I was more confident in the picks last week than this week.
So, yeah, I mean, a few prop bets I might look at for this game would be either or both QBs to throw an interception. I could definitely see that happening. Yep. The under, like I said, although it's down to 45.5 now. And maybe a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown.
I don't know that I've ever seen it. Is there a prop bet on both teams' combined sack total? Because that's something I would look at, too. Because I think this is going to be a big-time sack fest on both sides.
You can there are certain players you can pick to record a sack, like Aaron Donald to get a sack, Nick Bosa to get a sack, and like a laundry list of people. But I don't think there is a...
Like a team total?
No, I feel like you'll probably see that next week with the...
Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be scrolling through parlays for days, just to try to find
prop bets for you. Have to start researching your prop bets tomorrow, like basically.
Yeah. You know what I hit on last week? Both teams to score a touchdown in each half.
Huh.
I hit on that for the Buffalo KC game, and then I also hit on both teams to score 2 touchdowns in each half, which was 12-1.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I don't like that for the second game, but
no, it's 38-1 for the Niners and Rams.
And it's 12-1 for which game? Or that was last week.
That was last week.
Oh, okay.
And it's 38-1 for the Niners Rams, so you can see how much of a difference it is. But if you like the Niners and Rams,
for one touchdown or for two?
Two. If you like the Niners and Rams to each score 1 TD in each half, it's +172. Pretty good odds. But like I said, it could be low scoring. And you know, I thought it was a good bet in the Packers Niners game last week, and there was one touchdown scored on that.
one offensive touchdown scored all game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any
prop bets?
The Rams and Niners D to score is both 5-1. If you want to go with either of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have been saying this since like mid-season. It's very difficult to go under yardage for Cooper Kupp and to basically not pick him to score a touchdown. Like, I feel like those are two safe bets every week. You know who I've liked over the last few weeks to score an anytime touchdown? I think I saw it at +140 or 160 was Beckham. And he's been doing really well with his props as far as going over his props too.
He has been doing well since he showed up, and he is +140.
So I could see something like that. I could see an Elijah Mitchell touchdown. Like,
I was gonna say
it might be fun to sprinkle like an anytime touchdown parlay with maybe Mitchell, Beckham, and maybe like Debo or something like that.
Sony Michel at +290 if the Rams kind of go away from Akers after his fumble issues last week.
Yeah. I can't see them running the ball against the 49ers. I can't see it. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of the way you have to do it to set up your pass, but I don't see them doing it. I don't.
Sony Michel, Odell Beckham, Elijah Mitchell, all to score a touchdown, 25-1 parlay.
Yeah, that's solid. I don't think Michelle's going to score a touchdown, but like
I'll be interested to see how much they use Cam Akers after last week.
Yeah, you know they say when you're going propage, you might as well go like your best bang for your buck. I'll take a 25-1 shot any day on something that could theoretically happen.
Yeah, man. I hit big on all those points last week in the Buffalo KC game. So,
yeah,
it's fun to dig through. I'm sure we'll have plenty of props next week or 2 weeks, whenever we do the Super Bowl pod. Anything else to add, man?
No. I mean, I just, like I said, I hope that this weekend doesn't disappoint, because last weekend was fantastic. So,
yeah, I'm not asking. Football gods, I'm not asking for you to match last week, but just keep the games competitive and have the Chiefs win by more than...
let me watch a good 60 minutes of each game. That's, you know, that's all I care about.
Amen.
I'll unfortunately have to watch it on the replay because I have work tomorrow, but that's okay.
Well, the late game doesn't start till 6:30, so I don't know what time you get off, but...
Yeah, I'm unfortunately here there till 10, so I'm kind of
screwed. All right, well, we could do it. I'll make a... Does the game go to overtime? Prop bet for you.
There you go. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, enjoy the games. Thanks for jumping on with me. And we will see who's in the Super Bowl in 24 short hours.
Hey, man. Thanks for letting me fill in. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Enjoy.
Good luck, everyone.